Hey, why do people really go to church? We're going to address that in today's message. And it's not about getting a coffee mug. That will make more sense as you listen to today's sermon. But I kind of come clean in this message about ways I think we're really missing it as a people of God in meeting people as they come through the door with the need, the spiritual need they have on their hearts. Pentecost is a fantastic reminder of what being the church is really all about. So that's what we're going to dive into in today's message. Now, before we jump to that, I'm going to reference a devotional guide called One Minute with the Holy Spirit. We just came out with this the day that this sermon dropped. And One Minute with the Holy Spirit is a 50-day, very easy to follow guide. It truly takes about 1 minute to sit down, and you get one verse every day about the Holy Spirit, a very brief reading, and one question to ponder. And I think if you'll take time and you'll do this guide, you will have your eyes opened to the depth and the breadth of who and what the Holy Spirit is in our life and how you can move into the Holy Spirit being more actively a part of your daily life. So you have greater peace, you have greater purpose, you're living life kind of on point. So just wanted to mention that. I will put a link in the comments section so that you can download your own free guide. Okay, that's all I've got for you. Let's go ahead and jump right in today's message. What is the church really about? We're going to continue on in Acts chapter 2. I want to invite you to follow along with me. We're reading the first 21 verses. All right. Listen now to God's holy word. When the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Now divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I have to say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days he will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to be blood before the coming
of the Lord's great and glorious day, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of God, thanks be to God. I've been in, to be honest, in a bit of a quandary what to preach on Pentecost Sunday. I love Pentecost Sunday. I feel like, in a way, it's sort of a forgotten child of church holidays, you know, like that I have to re-explain it or bring it up again. I always have questions about it. We're pretty clear about Christmas and Easter, and in Pentecost, it should probably be as big a day as Christmas or Easter, but it's not. It kind of gets kind of put to the side. We throw on some red maybe, and some churches might have a birthday cake or balloons that they bring out to, because it's thought of as the birthday of the church, if you will. Because the Holy Spirit comes, and it comes upon the people in a very powerful way, and it appears, and I believe is, a fulfillment of multiple prophecies where God talks about putting his law upon the hearts of his people. That he will put his law upon the hearts of his people. Because what you may not know, I'll give you just a little bit of background on Pentecost, and then I'm kind of going to share a beef I have about just the church in general, in a big sense, since we're talking about the birthday of the church. If you're not aware, it was what was called sort of the Feast of Weeks. It was 50 days. It was a 50-day celebration where after Passover, 50 days later, they gathered, and it was kind of a harvest festival. They took time and they gave thanks to God for the first fruits that they were bringing in from their fields and their gardens, and it was a way of honoring God for providing for them. But it was also a remembrance of another way God provided for them. It was a remembrance of back in the Old Testament when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and God gave him the law so that people would know how to be his people. And it brought them together essentially as the family of God. And it's similar in a way, because God gave his people the law to make them a people. He said, "You'll be my people, I'll be your God." He gives the Holy Spirit as a gift to draw together an even broader family. And it works in the same way. The law was intended to help us know right from wrong. The Holy Spirit is a gift that is to be a guide for us, an internal guide for us to let us know right from wrong, to discern God's will, to move forward in a big and a good and a powerful way. Now I'm going to pivot to my rant a little bit. And I don't do that very often, but the book of Acts, particularly at the front end of it, it's often looked to as this beginning of the church, and there's this explosive growth, this dynamic growth where people are coming through the door right and left, right and left, right and left, right and left. And we're going to look at some of these passages to follow up on it. And sometimes I think there are pastors who are drawn to maybe look at it as a how-to manual for church growth. Look at what was the church doing at that time, and maybe if we just do what the church was doing, then maybe we would grow like that. I think that misses the picture entirely. If we go on a little bit further, what we hear is that the Holy Spirit added to the number of people daily. It was the movement of God. It wasn't so much what people were doing. It wasn't that where people were doing things and then God was showing up. It was God was showing up, so people started doing things. You know, it was a gift. It was a sudden and an unexpected gift. And I'll be honest, I apologize to any of you out there on behalf of the church for any time we have spent being focused on telling you how good or great the church is. I think that is a terrible mistake. I think we lost some times in feeling like that the gift a congregation has to give to people is the church. And that's not entirely a bad thing. But the real gift is the gift of relationship with God. And sometimes we're so busy saying, you should come because we have this program or that program. Or we sit around saying, what if we got this program or that program, or we got the perfect pastor or the perfect this or the perfect that, then that would attract people in. That is so contrary to what happens in Acts that it should make our heads spin when we start talking like that. Because really in Acts, instead, what we find is they were gathered together and they were waiting. You kind of had to read back before this a little bit to see that part of the picture. But they were gathered in celebration. They were doing the things of the church, if you will, at that time. And that was a good thing. And the gift of the Holy Spirit came upon them very suddenly, very unexpectedly, in a way that they could not explain and they could not wrap their heads around. But what we see is, and the thing that just kept arresting my attention again and again as I read through this passage, is that the effect was that they began to proclaim the mighty deeds of God. They began to proclaim the mighty deeds of God. They didn't talk about how great the temple was. They didn't talk about how great the festival was and how they could make the Festival of Weeks better next year so that maybe more people would come. They didn't do any of that. They were talking about the mighty deeds of God. And they slowed down and they cherished what God had done, and they were speaking those things. They could not help but speak those things. And I think that's where we as the church, we as a body of believers, and if you're a guest here, I guess this is a confessional time for you all to listen to, but we as a body of believers, we need to shift and make sure we're making the main thing the main thing, and we owe people an apology every time we don't. We really do. The church is not intended to be Cheers, a place where you can go and everybody knows your name. That's a great thing. I love coming through the door, and I love being able to name pretty much everybody I see. I love that. I love going to a place where everybody knows your name. But it's intended to be more than that. I thought of like a glove, and in some ways, the church without the Spirit is like a glove without a hand. You know, like a glove looks like a hand. A glove is shaped like a hand, but a glove doesn't really powerfully do anything until you put a hand inside of it. And I feel like the Spirit is what actually takes our form as the church, as individuals. It's having the Spirit of God within us that really empowers us and enables us to be more than just a lifeless shell. And to be that, we have to be open. And we have to be looking, and we have to be waiting, and we have to be willing to receive the goodness that God's willing to give us. You know, one of the things that we've done, because this has actually been on my heart and mind for a while, I've been to a lot of churches, and we used to do this, and we may continue to do it more. How many of you guys have visited a church, and you got like a coffee mug, or you got a, what's some of the other things maybe you've received when you went to church? What are some of those things? You got a pen, right? What was that? A gift bag. What's in your gift bag? Yeah, like a mug or something like that. Some little doodad. I feel like sometimes when I go to the church, I visit a church when I'm like on vacation, and I'm just curious what a church will give me, because a lot of churches do that. I feel like I'm at the county fair, and you go by the tables, and they have stuff to give out, you know? And I'm like, what is up with that? You know, why are we doing that? I mean, it's nice. It's a nice gesture, and it's hospitable. But when someone comes through that door, we don't come here to get a mug. We don't come here to get a new pen. When people walk through the door of a church, They're coming because there's some kind of spiritual yearning going on. And we are just mindless to that when that's what we do. We just give nice things to people like, here, have a cupcake for coming to worship, right? It's just blind to the fact that a person is drawn here because something spiritually is stirring and turning in their life. They actually did a couple of studies years ago where they studied the first time someone visited church, and they found in one study 98% of the time, they found, and in another study 100% of the time, they found that when someone came and they were looking for a church, they came the first time, that there was some kind of precipitant event within 3 months of them being there. They had the birth of a child. They had moved. They had divorced. They had lost their job. They had, I mean, the list went on and on and on. But something shook up their world, and they were in a place of looking and yearning for God. They were in that place of waiting, whether they realized it or not, on God, and they decided to not just wait around at home. You know, nobody, I don't think anyone wakes up on a Sunday morning. We use the term church shopping sometimes. I don't think anyone just wakes up one Sunday and goes, what am I going to do today? Oh, it's raining. I was going to golf. I can't golf. Churches are open on Sunday. Hey, maybe I'll go to a church. You know, nobody does that. Something moves, something shifts, something is provoked in their life. And because of that, they are led to be at a place out of a spiritual need, a spiritual hunger, something that's happening in their lives. And it's beyond them. It's beyond their ability. And they need the mighty works of God. They're in a place in life where they need the mighty works of God. So one of the things that we've done, and I'm not saying this to like, I don't know why I'm saying this other than to say, this is the kind of business we need to be about. If you come in now in our front doors, we have a basket and we have a guest guide in that. And we may still be kind to you and give you a mug sometime. We're kind of out of mugs at the moment, or we haven't been putting them out. But I was thinking about the fact that people come out of spiritual need. So those guest guides, what we have in there, first off, we put something in there that doesn't, it helps people understand what we do in worship. Because when you walk through the door, if you haven't been through the door of a church in a long time, it can feel like a very alien place, and you can wonder, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do I stand up? Do I sit down? Do I speak? Do I not speak? Why are they doing this? So it explains a little bit of what we're doing and why we're doing it. But it also says, here's how to have, on the other side, a good experience of being here. Because maybe we don't know how to worship. We put that in there. There's a little renewal guide in there. I usually add a devotional guide. And then we have some information for parents so that, you know, if your child starts to get squirrely and you don't know what to do with them, you got some options, you know. So, you know, some of it is there to just be welcoming and to orient. But the bottom line is, we put a devotional guide in there, and we put these things in there around worship, because you're not here to hear about how great we think we are or are not. I'm kind of biased. I think we're pretty great, but we're not here to tell you that. We're here to tell you the mighty deeds of God, so that whatever that brokenness is that you walk through the door with, whatever that yearning is, whatever that need is that has brought you here, you're reminded, or you're maybe taught for the first time, that you do not have to go through that alone. There is a loving God. There is a loving God who is a big God, who is a giving God, who is greater than any circumstance, greater than any trial, greater than any struggle, and that God is here and ready to come into your life. And he's not just confined to these doors, but he walks out these doors with you, and he loves you. And we need to be telling you that. That's what we need as the body of Christ, as believers, and as brothers and sisters in Christ with one another. That's what we need to be doing, is we need to be reminding people of the mighty, the great deeds of God, because it's all about God. It's not about us. And when we get that straight, the amazing thing is our world gets so much better. Like when we stop making it about us, honestly, it's amazing. That's when our world gets so much better. And that's what we see that happens in Acts today. We see the Spirit come suddenly upon people who were waiting, who were open, who were seeking. Because a lot of these were the disciples, and Jesus had ascended, and they're like, now what? And so they're seeking, and they come with that seeking open heart. And when we have that seeking open heart, bam, God will come in amazing ways. So I do want to encourage you to pick up, this wasn't intended as a commercial for the 1 minute and the Holy Spirit, but I do want to encourage you to pick one up, because what I've done in that thing, it's a 50-day journey. This is a little backwards. Pentecost, the season of the 50 days of Pentecost is really from Easter until now. But I've set this up as kind of a Pentecost journey in that it's 50 days. But it takes you from, it really walks you through how to become more open, like first noticing the Holy Spirit. And then once we start to notice when the Spirit's work, how do we notice it? Then how do we really listen and discern what's going on? And when we discern, how do we trust? When we trust, how do we then begin to walk in that? And what does it eventually mean to not just kind of turn to God when we need God episodically, but rather instead that every day we're walking with God. Every day we're walking with God. It's just a part of who we are. It's not something we do that we put on and off like a coat, but it's just who we are. So praise be to God, we have a God who's patient with us when we get off base, when we get it wrong. The early, like the believers that were together there, they had kind of gotten a place where they had lost track of it being about God. Praise God, he's patient with us. And if we'll just come back to him with open hearts, he'll come into our hearts in a big, big way. Amen.
Once again, thank you for being here as a part of this podcast. And don't forget to pick up your copy of 1 Minute with the Holy Spirit over on our website. If you're having trouble finding that link, just go to fpcrogers.com/resources. You'll not only find a link to that, but multiple other free devotional guides. Maybe there's something that's better for you right now than this one, but we have multiple free devotional guides on our website. Please jump over there and take a step today to grow in your faith. Blessings now, and we look forward to seeing you again in another podcast.